This is episode number 499 with Julianne Huff. Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. You've got to dance like there's nobody watching. Love like you'll never be hurt. Sing like there's nobody listening. And live like it's heaven on earth. William Perkey said that, and I want to say thank you so much for being here. We've got a great episode today. Her name is Julianne Huff, and I'm super excited to introduce you to her. If you don't know who she is, she's an incredible singer, dancer, and actress, and amazing, inspiring young female entrepreneur who's just doing some incredible things in the world right now. But before we dive in and I tell you more, now let's get back into our incredibly inspiring and talented guest today. Her name is Julianne Huff, and she is a dancer, singer, and actress, entrepreneur, and she's taken over the world. She's a two-time professional champion of ABC's Dancing with the Stars. Her first leading acting role was in the 2011 film remake of Footloose. She also joined Dancing with the Stars as a permanent fourth judge. She won a Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Choreography in 2015. And in 2016, she played Sandy in the live Fox television production of Grease. And in this interview, we talk about how a Tony Robbins seminar changed her perspective on who she was trying to be in the world. Also, her experiences being in a professional dance environment at 10 years old in London, her struggle with perfectionism and trying to keep up and not feeling good enough even when she won something, how she shifted her passion and drive after realizing she just needed to please herself and not please others, how to divide your time wisely when you're a multi-passionate with so many projects you're working on and family and relationships, that and so much more, guys. I really hope you enjoy this one. This is actually an interview we did over a couple of years ago, episode number 148, but so many people haven't heard this one that I felt like we needed to bring it back. So make sure to check out lewishowes.com/499 to watch the full video interview. Also, if you want to see me doing some salsa dancing with Julianne Huff, go check it out at lewishowes.com/499 as well. But this is one of the most favorite episodes I've ever done. I hope you enjoy it, and I believe there's a lot of inspiration to be learned from Julianne's story. So without further ado, let's jump into this one with the one, the only, Julianne Huff.
I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12 pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off. With Capella University's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
So welcome to the School of Greatness podcast. Julianne Huff, good to see you. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm so pumped that we're going to salsa dance afterwards and hopefully get this on film. Because I just had so much fun dancing with you.
I know, that was so fun. I literally, because I told you, like, I do choreograph stuff or I try to teach people, but like, the way that you just could lead me, that's like the greatest gift for a girl.
Really?
It's like when a guy can just lead you.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you've never really gone out into a club and just been like, let's do this, like, non-choreographed, just improv, right?
No, yeah. I mean, like, hey, when I'm out and I'm having a good time, like, I'll just dance, but I usually dance by myself.
Really? You just do your own little choreography, yeah. Very cool.
So, yeah, I'd love to go.
All right. Well, we'll record afterwards, and maybe I'll take you out in LA sometime. Get you and your boyfriend to come
out.
Yeah,
for sure.
So I'm excited to meet you and talk with you, and your energy is just so magnetic. Why people love you, because of your smile and your energy and your passion. And it comes across in all of your dancing, your singing, and your acting. So I just want to say thanks for the way you show up in the world, because it's really powerful.
Thank you.
And that's a lot of fun.
That really means a lot, because I feel like that's something that I've kind of learned, I think, over the years, that I think that that's something that I want to give to the world. Yeah. Like I want to be a light, and I want to be like a light of love and joy to give to the world and inspire others. And so thanks.
Well, you're doing it. So I want to start off with gratitude. I'm big on gratitude in my life, and I live it constantly. So I want to ask you, what are you most grateful for recently in your life?
Most recently? Wow. I'm grateful. Gratitude is a huge one for me also. So, I mean, the thing that I'm most grateful for at this moment, and I know that it's cliche to say my family, but that's what I'm really, really grateful for right now.
That's cool. Yeah. And you're the youngest, right?
I'm the baby. Yeah.
Me too.
I love the baby.
And there's five of you or four of you?
There's five.
Yeah, there's four of us.
Okay.
Very cool. But I want to talk about how this all began. Because you're you know, movie star, you're a celebrity, you're dancing with the stars, you're now a judge, singer, lots of different things happening, but how did it all begin? Was it all starting out with dance, or were you actually singing and acting before then as well?
Yeah, when I was a kid, my oldest sister, Shari, she was a ballet dancer, so we kind of were just dragged along, you know? And like my brother wanted to play sports, but he had to dance, so. and yeah, we started dancing, but then we would be in plays all the time where we were acting and singing, and I was always the youngest, so I wasn't technically allowed to be in any of the classes because it was, you know, I was too young, but I would come home and I would know all the lyrics, I would know the dance moves, and like, yeah, I would go and watch, and I'm very visual.
Gotcha. So you would just go and watch in the corner and just pretty much do the moves in your mind and come back and know it.
Yeah. Wow. So
you're like an understudy.
Exactly. Like, but I am. I'm very visual. Like, like I would always say in school, I wasn't my best in school because it was all a lot of like audio, or like I had to see it like or write it down. And like for me, it's show me how it's done and I can do it. But
I was that's funny because I had a second grade reading level when I was in eighth grade.
Oh, really?
And I just couldn't learn in school. Like books were just so challenging for me to understand and comprehend.
Yeah, me too.
But sports, I was like, let's be moving and active, and I could pick it up, you know?
That's me, right? For sure. Yeah.
Thank God for sports.
And I dance. Well, hey, dancing is a sport in my opinion.
It is. Very cool. Yeah. So you got into it early, but you were living in the States, and then you moved to London to start kind of training more full time, right?
Yeah, so we were at the studio in Utah, and my brother and I were there, and we were kind of...
How old were you, sorry?
I was like 8 years old, and from like 8 to 10, I was really into it, and I loved it so much. And we had our dance coaches from England. They would come to Utah at our studio, and they would teach like once every like 3 months.
Like a workshop.
And we'd be with all these adults, and my brother and I would be like 8, 9, you know, years old, and we'd be the first ones to raise our hands, and we'd be in the front row, and like we were so passionate about it. And then like my parents were going through a divorce at the time, so it was kind of a good way to kind of get us out of the house for a little bit and like have us go have this amazing experience while they're figuring out their stuff. So we decided that we were going to go to London, live with our dance coaches.
Wow.
And
how old were you when you
I was 10.
10.
My brother was 13.
So you started when you were 8.
Yeah.
And 2 years later, you moved to London with your dance coaches. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I was doing ballroom dancing, tap, jazz, hip hop, whatever. But the ballroom and the Latin wasn't as refined. I was just, I guess, gifted in that, but I didn't really have the technique.
Yeah.
And so when we went to England, it was pretty cool because I was 10 years old. I moved there and I was like, wait, I thought there were going to be horse-drawn carriages and like big dresses and little guys with spectacles.
It was like dark and dreary and bad food.
And it was like people were wearing normal clothes and like, it was going to be like Dickens or something.
Right.
But anyway, so I got there and I was like the youngest, and I just, it was intensive because I was competing against older
It was like kids. Professionals, right?
Yeah,
professional. Or semi-professional.
Yeah, semi-professional, but they were all older than me, and so I would watch the girls, and I would try to pick up everything that I could from these like really mature, you know, 16-year-olds at 10, wow. And then like 20-year-olds, and like, you know, and I would pick it up, and it was intensive. But I always say, like, if you're the best in your class, then go to another class, because like that's not going to teach you. That's just going to kind of keep you there. So. So yeah, so it was really intensive, but it was awesome.
I really like that because, you know, I'm always looking to increase my circle of influence and surround myself with people in business at a different level than me. Not at my level, but really expand myself.
Completely.
So it sounds like the same thing. And you know, and also in sports, we were always trying to play against the varsity guys and JV and, you know, just to get better. That's
Completely.
Cool. So how long were you there for?
I was supposed to stay for 3 months, and I ended up staying for 5 years.
Wow.
So till I was 15.
Okay.
And it was a really amazing experience because it taught me, like, to come out of my bubble, which was in Utah, which is a very, you know, very conservative community. And then I would go to England, and it was just like the complete opposite.
Right.
And anyway, so we went there, and like I grew up really, really fast. And I think I was more mature at 15 than I am now, because
You're like a kid now.
I'm a kid now. Whereas like I had to really grow up really fast, and I was really responsible, and I was always perfect and on time, and you know, like all those things. And now I'm kind of just more laid back and enjoy the moment. And so I came back when I was 15. I was like, I just want to go to high school. I want to know what it feels like to be a normal kid. And so I went to high school, and after 3 days, I was like, all right, I'm done.
Wow.
But I had to obviously finish. So I graduated when I was 18, and I came out to LA with $2,000. And I told my dad I had five. I don't know why $3,000 made more of a difference,
right.
But in my mind it did. So yeah, I came out with $2,000 and yeah.
So what I'm curious about is at 10 years old, you're thrown into the mix of like this, you know, ballroom, from my understanding, is very sensual, very sexual, very like risque. You have to really be in the moment
get in
the zone. Otherwise, if you're not convincing, then no one's going to be convinced in you.
Completely.
If you're not enrolling, then no one's going to be enrolled in your performance.
Yeah.
So what were some of those experiences like, you know, when you're 10 to 15, having to be this sexual, sensual woman, or perfect, like you said, and like have curves when you didn't have curves and all these things.
Like, oh, yeah.
What was that like, and what came up for you during that time?
Confusing.
Okay.
That's like the best word that I can put for it, because it was confusing. Because even at like 7, 8, 9 years old, when I was in Utah, people used to tell me, like, she's really sexy. And like at 7, yeah. And it's weird because I didn't feel like I was doing anything wrong. But I just felt it, you know, and like I would just dance. And then of course that was heightened when I went to England, because
it
was professional level, and like we're competing every week, and I was performing and competing against people that were older than me. And
you gotta
like,
show a lot of skin and like
and like that part never really bothered me. I don't know why. I don't know. But the part that I will always remember is being 10 years old, and they had fake boob cups in the dress. And I would like poke them, and they would stay. because I was like flat. Like I was 10 years old, you know? And so it was that same thing of like overly kind of sexualizing like a kid, which I think there's good and bad to that. I think like it's great for what it is, and like it taught me a lot, but at the same time it was confusing when I would have to go and be my 10-year-old little kid self and go to school, and like I'd have these long nails on and fake tan on, and like
makeup probably,
and that was what was kind of sad too, is I was like, well, I look at pictures, I'm like, I don't think I have any pictures of me without makeup on.
Wow.
Yeah. So
as a 10-year-old,
as like a 10-year-old, because I felt like I needed it when I was off the dance floor. I was like, I have to wear makeup, because, you know, like I have to. I think it was all always like having to please people and like kind of fit in and be accepted. And so, like, I always wanted like the older guys to like me. I wanted the older girls to like me, and like, you know, it was kind of like I needed to be more mature to fit in.
When did that start? Shifting for you? When did you realize that you didn't need to be that way, that you didn't need to like...
Like 2 years ago. Okay. Yeah, it took a while to figure that out.
How did it, what came about, or how did that come about?
I actually went to a Tony Robbins seminar.
Yeah.
And
why is he so powerful?
He's so great. It's amazing. I know. And like, and I always say that to people. I'm like, look, I know it sounds crazy because I'm like such a believer of Tony Robbins, but like, it's because he knows how to like communicate with people and really knows how to connect with people and like what they go through. So, I mean, it could be me, it could be my dog, it could be you teaching the seminar or whatever, but like, he just has a really great way to get it to connect with you. So anyway, so I went to the seminar and I didn't really even want to go. I was like in my single year, I was like having a lot of fun, but kind
five
of
full days.
Yeah,
right?
It's six.
Six
yeah,
full days,
six full
from
days.
Like 9 to midnight.
Like 15-hour days, and like, anyway. So my brother actually asked me to go, and like all my sisters and my mom went, and I was like, okay, well, I know it's really important to you, so I'll go for like 2 days.
Yeah, I'll check
and
it
then
out.
And then I'll go home. It's like first day, I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, this is exactly what I need. So I ended up staying for the whole time, and it was like, you didn't even want to go to the bathroom or eat or anything because you wanted to like not miss anything. So
well, he doesn't go to the bathroom.
No, I know.
Or he's there on stage the whole. That's almost the most impressive thing is watching him not leave the stage for 15 hours.
It is. But that's where like, that's where my whole everything changed.
What opened up for you during that week?
Clarity and awareness of things that I did and the kind of person that I was being. Without even knowing it.
And what was that type of person?
I was doing everything with the purpose and the meaning behind it that like all I want is love and acceptance and like I want to feel significant to people and important and I want to feel all these things like I want to feel successful and I want to do this and I want to do that, but at the end of the day like I was doing it for everybody else to get. And so, like, I needed everybody else to fulfill me, and I was thinking about it, and part of the seminar helped me. But like, I was thinking about like why I wanted to be an entertainer when I was a kid, and like why I wanted to be an entertainer now, and the meaning was so different.
What was it when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, I was like, it's so much fun. I was like, this is awesome. Yeah. This is so fun. And like, people are laughing and like, we're just having a good time and we're being creative. And then like, as I got older, I realized it was like, I wasn't having fun anymore. Huh. I was just trying to get the next thing and like what the next part of my career was going to do for my career and the success of that and like being the most important person and like all those things where I knew underneath I still loved to do everything that I did, but I was doing it for a different reason.
A lot more pressure, it seems like.
Oh my gosh, and I never felt successful in anything that I did, and I was never good enough, and like all these different things. And people would find that hard to believe, and I'd be like, well, yeah, but I'm not there yet. And they're like, but look at what you've done. And I'd be like, yeah, but it's not enough.
So how would you feel when you would, you won Dancing with the Stars a number of times, or you come out with a new record? How would you feel when you released something or you won something or you checked it off the list or the movie came out? How would you feel?
What's next?
So it was never always, like appreciating the moment,
never.
Like being grateful for this and excited. It was like, this isn't enough.
Yeah.
What's next?
Wow. Well, I mean, when I won Dancing with the Stars, trust me, I was on a high. I was like, yes!
Two days later, you were like, okay, well,
a day later,
I
was like,
one.
Okay, what's next? And like, I have to have my music career and I have to have my acting career and I have to have this and that and that. And when I got through all that and I realized what I was doing it all for, and then I kind of came back to my 10-year-old self, which was like, let's go have fun and enjoy it and like have a good time. I ended up feeling like the most successful person.
Wow.
And like, I was like, wow, look at everything that I've done. And like, I'm so proud of myself. And like, and I think that's really hard for people to say because, it's hard to say that you're proud of yourself. Mm-hmm. And one, because you're like afraid of what people are going to think. Are they going to think that I'm cocky? And it's like, screw everybody else what they think of me. I'm like, am I proud of myself? Yeah, I'm proud of myself.
That's good.
So, and everything is just better now. Like, and I find that I'm getting more things that are just coming in. And it's that kind of energy where you're just being and you're just living and you're just enjoying things and then you find that you're attracting more things that come your way and more success or whatever, however you define it. But life is just great right now.
Amazing. I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
But it comes across that way too. It doesn't seem like you're stressed or you have any weight on your shoulders.
Yeah.
You're just like, let's have fun.
Well, Well, yeah, and I would notice that a lot. I'd be like, and I'd always take deep breaths, like, oh, I'm overwhelmed, and like, I need to do this, and like, why am I not that person that's that, you know, like, I would compare myself to people all the time, like, why am I not there, and they're there, like, I'm doing what I can, and I'm trying so hard, and I'm like, that's the point. I'm trying so hard.
Just be.
Yeah. Just be and like being authentic and real. And like, I know it's easy to say that, but when you can find it and you feel that feeling, you don't ever want that feeling to go away.
Yeah.
Like, that's almost like the addiction now for me is like, it's not the, like, it's not that I've lost my drive, but like, it's the, like, I used to hate, sorry, I'm all tangenty
now.
And I'm like
it.
All over the place.
Go on.
But it's like, I used to hate feeling satisfied. I used to like, I used to say that if I ever felt like I was, you know, content, that was the worst thing in the world. And so then like last year, I started feeling content and I was like, oh, does that mean my drive's gone?
Your hustle's gone, your drive.
Yeah, my hustle. And like, you know, because I used a lot of like the negativity that has happened in my life to prove myself, to show what I've gone through. And I got rid of that. So I was like, is my drive gone? Like, do I not have
the same... I just want to relax on the weekends.
Yeah. And what I realized was that, like, it didn't go away. It actually just made me more calm and peaceful so that I was more able to go and be really passionate about the things that I loved when I needed to do that. And then I could turn off.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game, or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Do you feel like you're more in the flow every day now or with, you know, your work or your...
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I still have my moments where I'm like, but I mean, you know, I do. I remind myself how grateful I am that, you know, I get to do what I do.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So, sorry, that was major tangenting.
That's perfect.
But
that's what everyone needs to hear, though.
Yeah.
And what would you actually say to someone, whether they're a busy entrepreneur or
they
got a family and they feel like they want to make more money and they just feel like they have so much going on and they're never in the zone, they're constantly stressed, what advice would you give to them?
I would say find some rituals that you do. to calm you down and put you in a, what Tony likes to say, is a peak state, yeah, you know,
course.
Like,
what are your rituals?
My rituals are in the morning, like I breathe and I think about the things that I'm grateful for. Wow. And I think about what I want to do that day. And I think about how I can, not what I'm going to do, but how I'm going to be in that day.
Yeah.
And
what are the things that come up often for you? What are those ways of being?
Kindness, for sure. Yeah. I mean, being kind. I think there's a lot of anti-bullying, and that's an anti thing. And I'm like, well, the only like cure for that is by doing something. So instead of being anti-bullying,
before kindness.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, it's always about what can I do to inspire, like, and to love, and like to just, yeah. So that's, I don't know, good. I want to now be remembered for who I am as a person rather than what I've accomplished. And then what I've accomplished is great, because then it will be a platform to be that person, you know, and like help, so.
That's cool. Yeah. What other rituals throughout the day, or maybe at night, do you do something before bed, or?
Music is really important to me, because it gets me in a great mood. Yeah. And so when I'm singing, when I'm singing or I'm like moving around and I feel great, like, just life is wonderful. I make sure I kiss my dogs every day, and like we play.
The girls,
Lexi and Marley. And I think for me too, I try to listen. I think a lot of the times in the past for sure, and it still catches up with me, but I kind of just go on my day.
Listen to what? Listen to yourself, or listen to others?
Listen to people, like a conversation. Like, I think that sometimes I just am waiting for like the end of the conversation.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, now, or you used to be like that?
I used to be like that, and sometimes that creeps in.
Why do you wait to the end?
Because I'm always, again, trying to,
what's next?
What's next?
And so you haven't been fully present.
Yeah, and so I now try to like listen and like, and understand, try to understand people. So I don't know, so my rituals are kind of like, again, the morning I breathe, I think about the things that I'm grateful for, I listen to music and get in a good place, and then before I go to bed, I don't know, I do the same kind of thing, like think about what I'm grateful for, and yeah.
How important is learning new skills and constantly improving your mind for you? Are you going to more workshops or reading or listening to podcasts or?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's kind of addicting when you feel this good.
Yeah, it's like a high.
It is a high, and so it's really fun, because I feel like your community of friends, it actually shrinks first, and then it grows. Mm. And it's really cool, because you find that you have the same interest, and talking about this kind of stuff is really fun. And then you're like, let's go do a seminar together, and like, let's read this book together, know? And so, I'm always trying to constantly fuel that. I think kind of what we were saying about like school, like it didn't compute, like I didn't connect to it, and so I didn't understand it. Whereas like life stuff like this, I'm like, this is what they need to be teaching in school.
Right.
I'm like, and I connect to this, so
sure,
like I feel really smart.
That's what,
you know, whereas like in school, like it didn't connect with me, whereas this really connects with me. And so I'm always trying to, I don't know, find ways to be better, but not even be better to again, like prove myself, but to be better, because it just feels better to grow and always feel like you're, always feel like you're growing and learning. And
That's great. I'm a big believer in mastering your body and having great health.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it for you to constantly be on top of your health game physically? Obviously, I think I know the answer because of what you do, but
I think you're wrong.
Really?
Because like I wish that I was more conscious of my health, and I think maybe I put a lot of pressure on myself because of the health thing, because I feel like that's what I should be, and so maybe
everyone's always looking at you or judging you or pictures or whatever.
Yeah, and so I feel like I have a lot of pressure to show that I'm healthy, and I think that's one thing that I'm actually figuring out right now, because I think,
tell me more about this.
Okay, so I dance because I have fun,
yes,
and it makes my body better,
yeah,
but I don't do it for that reason, really. I do it for the fun of it, and working out I would always do for vanity, and
To look good,
which is a great thing. You want to look good, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But what I realized was that I was doing it all for vanity. And so now...
Not to be healthy, you mean? Or
not to be healthy.
Improve your...
No,
something.
But I would feel great when I would do it. So then I would get confused, like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And I realized that it was for all for vanity. And like, so now I'm trying to figure out, okay, how can I work out and eat right and do it, but because I want to do it for health and not for vanity. And so, yeah, I know
it's challenging. It's really challenging. The world you're in, and like,
yeah. So I'm still figuring that out. Because by the way, I'm never gonna not do it for vanity. Also, like, you know, I want to do it for the right reason,
right.
And I want to be healthy when I have kids, and like,
sure.
You know, and yeah.
How many kids do you want to have?
I want to have 4.
Wow.
Yeah. That was quick to answer, right?
That's correct. You knew that since
4.
You were like 7 years old. You're like, I'm gonna have 4 kids. I'm gonna live here.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
I'm a planner.
Why 4? Why 3 or 4?
I had a big family, and I couldn't imagine my life without my siblings.
Yeah, it's
and they're my best friends, and yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
What is it about? What is something about you that most people don't know that would surprise them if they knew?
You know, I think that, like, I love doing this interview because I'm being so real and so honest.
Yeah, I appreciate you.
Yeah, of course. Well, and I like that. Whereas I think a lot of people, and I think in the past, I've always been kind of, I know what to say and the limit to say. And
give your PR team on you, like,
yeah,
here are the talking points.
Well, that, and also just to be positive and always happy and not show my weaknesses. And I think that for people, I want them to know that, like, I have insecurities and I have, you know, moments in my life that I'm not proud of or that I am, you know, striving to be better at. And so, like, being in this world, it's very, your image is very important to protect because you want to make sure that, you know, you don't show the weaknesses. But for me, what I've learned is that, like, your weaknesses, your vulnerability is what makes you strong. And to be able to, you know, have somebody relate to you is, I think, really important for that person because they see us here in this incredible world that is, it's abnormal. It's not normal. But yet we're all still normal and real. And like, we don't usually show those things. So I don't know. I just would say that I'm just human and like, I have my moments and I have my insecurities and I cry and then like, I'm really weird. Like I have like these weird moments, and Christy will tell you, but like, I have these weird moments where I get really like slap happy, where like I get in this like weird mood and I just start doing these like really like operatic voices, and I'll sing.
Give me one.
I'd be like, and like, it's always when I'm really tired and I'll be like rolling on the floor and like, I'm just kind of weird. I don't know, like, I'm not,
I like weird. Weird's
good. Weird's great.
It's great.
I love it.
So, how often do you feel like you allow yourself to be vulnerable, whether it be in public or in private or?
I feel like I'm getting better at it for sure. I think that I never used to be vulnerable. I always used to be a tough cookie and, you know, look how strong I am.
Never let them see you sweat.
Never. Like, oh, that's a piece of cake, you know? Because I wanted to prove, again, that I was really strong and that I could do this and I could keep up and that I was meant to be here with everybody else.
Right.
Whereas now I think that, like, I don't care.
Sure.
So, like, I'm like, I'm not searching for people's approval anymore. I mean, of course, we all are here and there, but, like, that's not my main drive. And so I think now I'm just kind of like, I don't care. I mean, if they like me, they like me. If they don't, they don't. And
yeah.
I don't know.
That's cool. So tell me how you divide your time between all these interests you have. Again, you're like a superstar at everything. So how do you balance it all? Or is there no balance?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm working on the balance part because I feel like I have a lot of great ideas and I'm passionate about this and, oh my gosh, this would be a great TV show idea, or I need to sing, or I need to go on tour. And so I would have so many things on my plate that I would never do them all really well. I would like be outstanding at all of them. I would kind of just be okay.
And enough to make it work.
Enough to make it work. And so
kind of fake your way to being good.
Yeah, exactly. And so I kind of in the last couple of years I'm like, okay, how do I trim the fat basically? Like I need to prioritize and what makes me happy? What makes me like get super excited? And if there's anything that doesn't make me feel that, I need to get it away.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of projects that I had that it would just overwhelm me, but I was like, but it's such a good idea, I need to do this. And then I was like, but I'm not even that passionate about it. You know, but it could make a lot of money and it could be a success and it could be this and it could be that. And then I'm like, but I'm really don't even care about it. Like I do because I think it could be something, but it's not that I'm like completely all in on it.
So what advice would you give someone who does have all these projects going on or has a new idea? Because so many entrepreneurs listen. Yeah. They always have another idea and they never follow through with it.
Well, and that's, I think that was what was happening with me too. So it is, my advice would be to trim the fat. Like literally get all of the things that you think you have that are important and literally just kind of like go like this and only put the things that you are super passionate about. Like it's almost like clearing the table and then grabbing the things that you're like, okay, this,
you really want.
This, that is my priority. And then once this is kind of feeling like it's going, then I can trickle in something else.
Got some momentum, or you got a system in place, or a team that's running it.
Yeah, but if there's too much, I always feel like nothing's gonna get done, or it's gonna be half-assed, or it's gonna, you know, it's not gonna be my full potential of what I know it could have been.
Right.
You know.
So what is it you want right now? You've done so much, but like, what do you want in your life?
What I want in my life now is structure and stability. I think that for a long time, and just who I am, I'm all over the place. And I love that about myself, that I am all like, you know, like, let's just go do this and spontaneity. And but now I'm kind of wanting to be more calm and settled and a little bit more stability.
Yeah.
So for me, I think the thing that I would really... I feel like I'm an entrepreneur.
Of course you are.
And I'm thinking about business ideas that aren't necessarily me being on camera, but that can run itself almost.
Producing,
or you know, even I have some ideas for my brand that my brother and I are, you know, creating Move.
Yeah.
And we have some outside ideas that we want to establish and put into play, and that won't be me necessarily being there constantly.
Having to show up constantly.
Yeah, show up and be on camera. So like having a way to do that, I think I'm starting to think about now and think about like when I, because I want to start having kids in like 5 years. I'm not ready at all, but like in like 5 years. So like how can I plan and set it up so that like I can take time off and yet still feel like I'm involved in my business and my work, but I can be here.
You don't have to show up for it,
So I think that's where my brain is going right now.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What's the dream?
The dream is to have fun.
Throw you off guard there.
but it's true. The dream is I wanna have a family.
Yeah.
And I wanna be married, I wanna have a family. I wanna be able to perform in any manner, and it can be on a large scale like what I'm doing now, or it could be something smaller. It kind of just depends where my life is going, but I want to continue to make money because I want to be able to support my family.
Of course.
And I think it's just fun to find out I can make money from this.
Being
like,
an entrepreneur is so much fun.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So I'm always trying to think of fun, cool ideas. But also, I think my purpose has changed a little bit as well, as far as instead of receiving and getting a lot of stuff, like how can I give to the world?
Wow.
And so.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And it makes, it makes life, again, it makes life so much better because, okay, so I'm gonna let you in on my mission statement.
Let me hear it.
So my mission statement is, let me get it in my peak state. It is.
What's your move? Show me your move.
My move, it's kind of funny. My brother makes fun of me all
Let's
the time.
See it.
It goes, yes. So,
like jazz hands?
Yes.
I like it. Jazz hands.
Yes, that's my move. So So anyway, so the purpose of my life is to be an infectious light of love and joy, to celebrate the little things, and to inspire others to embrace their true essence. So, and that last part.
Inspire others to be their true essence.
To embrace their true essence.
To embrace your true essence. Mm-hmm.
And like to find that, because I think that I had to find that in the last couple of years. And we get so caught up in what we need to do and what we need to get and all those things that like we forget like the 10-year-old self and like why we want to do it. And because it's fun, right? And so to inspire somebody else to like break down those like layers of what they've just done to survive. It's like, let's break those down. Let's break those down, you know? And I want to be there, that kind of person to help people or to inspire people like find that part.
Well, I'm glad you shared your mission statement because I want to share with you mine and I'm going to ask you a question about it. So my mission is to teach 100 million people to show them how to make a full-time living doing what they love.
Wow.
Because I believe if everyone is making a full-time living, it doesn't have to be millions, but enough to live and have a good life.
Yeah.
Doing the things that you're most passionate about, that's going to cause, you're going to heal yourself so much from so much pain.
Yeah.
And disease is going to be gone. Relationships are going to be better if people are doing what they love.
Yeah.
And they feel like what they do is matters.
I agree. You're
making money for what matters. So.
I agree.
How important is it to be clear on a mission and to have a mission statement like you just said and like I have?
Yeah. I think it's really important because I never had one before and I always thought, like, oh, I want this, I want that, I want that. But I never
know why.
I didn't know why. And then I figured out why. And then I said yes. and I figured out why. And I have direction now. And I have clarity. And like what's important is important and what's not important is not important.
Wow.
And I used to there was no filter before. Everything just kind of blended and mixed and I felt kind of lost. But I was like, I'm not lost. I'm good. I know what I'm doing, but I was lost completely because I'm like, well, yeah, I think I'm supposed to be doing this. I think I, but having that direction, you do have a purpose.
Yeah.
And then every day, it's not a battle or pressure to live up to it. It just kind of somehow happens because when you believe it and you think it and you say it, like you just end up doing it.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
That's cool. And I think, I mean, when I was like a teenager, I didn't have a mission statement of like what I'm going to do in my life. I think when you're younger, it's just trying to like figure out how to get to the next grade or get to college or whatever it is. And for me, it was like, will a girl like me? You know, can I get a girlfriend? That was like my mission, right?
Most
so
kids
I think
are,
I think where it depends on where you're at in your life, and your mission can evolve and change.
Definitely.
As the seasons change, as new relationships, new things happen. But I think it's invaluable to have something no matter where you're at.
I agree. That's and even cool. if it's something that you don't necessarily believe fully, but you want, I think that's always really good to even have that because that again, it gives you a reason and a purpose and a meaning behind it. Whereas like there were things that I would tell myself that I wasn't fully living, but I wanted to be. Mm. And so I would tell myself those things. And then I ended up becoming that,
yeah.
You know? And like, I used to say that, like, I remember going in for my Footloose audition and.
They didn't just give it to you?
No, I went in and auditioned multiple amount of times.
Wow.
And when I went in, I was so insecure and I was so worried that I wasn't going to get this, that I could have done that and I would have shown that. Or I went into the bathroom and I was like, I'm fucking awesome. I was like, I am so good. I'm so going to get this. I'm awesome. Yeah. Like, I deserve this. I'm going to do this. I did not believe that at all.
Wow.
But I told myself
in the mirror. Yourself.
I tricked myself into thinking it and I got it.
Wow.
And like, I've done that a lot in my life.
Yeah, because your energy doesn't lie.
Yeah.
If you show up nervous because you're thinking that constantly, it's going to come across very easily.
Yeah, completely.
I'm the fucking shit.
I am. Yeah. And it's like, and I've done that in like a lot of my auditions.
Wow.
Or when I'm feeling like, then I'm like, wait. And this is actually pre-Tony. So like,
sure.
I feel like I kind of did it anyway.
You're pumping yourself up, yeah.
But I would pump myself up and I would say things that, even though I didn't believe it, like I would just say it. And then after I would be finished, I'd be like, thank goodness I told myself that, you know?
Now, do you practice visualization a lot? Do you like visualize what you want and think about it constantly or put it on a wall, like images or any type of
Well, when I was a kid, mm-hmm. I definitely did. And I had like, by the time I'm 16, I'm going to do this. By the time I'm 19, I'm going to do this and this and this. And,
yeah.
And literally it was like, by the time I'm 19, I want to be a singer. And that's when I released my first record.
Wow.
When I was 21, I wanted to star in my own movie, and that was Footloose.
Wow.
And, you know, and like there were certain things along the way that happened, and they would come to fruition. Like,
amazing.
It was crazy. And then I started, and then I stopped doing that because I achieved all those things, and I didn't have any of those. And I realized I made those up when I was a kid.
Wow.
And I was like, I need to be a kid again and make up some new ones.
Some big dreams.
Some big dreams.
Yeah.
You know? And like, I forgot that I did that, but they kept coming true. And so I do now, but I didn't have any past 21. And so I was like, oh, I need to get some dreams, you know? And like really visualize like when and how and where, uh-huh. and like, the picture of what I want.
What's,
you know,
the process of this? Do you just map it up in your mind? Do you draw it out? Do you write it down? How do you?
I map it out in my mind because I am very visual. So like I just see it. But then, I mean, this.
Is there something you tell yourself, or is there like?
It's silly, but like every time an eyelash falls and I make a wish, or like every time it's 11-11, or like I think about those things,
wow.
and I like wish for it and I think about it. And I know it sounds silly and like it's not magic, you know, it's
sure.
just, but it is. It's like, it's a reminder, like those little funny
sure.
wish things, but like I'll always think about those things.
Do you find yourself searching for true crime podcasts that are different from what you're always recommended? Do you want to make a real difference in the cases that you're following? Well, you're a crime junkie, and I'm Ashley Flowers, the creator and host of the number one true crime podcast, Crime Junkie. There are hundreds of episodes already available, and each Monday we dive into the details of cases spanning from some of the most infamous to those that you have never heard covered before. Listen to Crime Junkie podcast now, wherever you're listening.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
I think it's brilliant because if you're not reminded to think about them,
yeah.
it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not just going to fall in your lap. You're not going to get
yeah.
the role in the next movie you
mm-hmm.
want because you just
yeah.
showed up and it just fell in your lap.
Yeah.
You've got to set the intention every day.
Completely.
Multiple times probably.
Yeah.
For years.
Well, and it's so funny now that you say that because even like my family has this weird thing where we always see either 11-11 or 2-11 or something 11.
Same time or?
And we'll always text, be like 2-11 and like 10 will come in.
You text like the photo of it? You screenshot
it? Yeah, totally. And it's like, the more you think about it, the more you're gonna see it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like before, I never would have even noticed that. But we see it all the time now. We'll go and like, we'll see a license plate that has it, or like we'll go to the grocery store and our change will be something 11. And it's like, because you're focused on that, like that's what you see and that's
yeah.
what you get. And so I feel like that's the same thing in life, like
sure.
whether it's a dream that you have or if it's a, an idea that you have, the more you think about it, the more you focus on that, the more it's gonna
yeah.
keep coming up.
And then the other side of things, the more you focus on stress.
And the negative,
and
yeah.
drama,
mm-hmm.
and whatever else, anger and frustration
yeah.
and resentment, the more you're gonna be frustrated and resentful.
Completely, absolutely.
Tell me about your brother. How much of a support has he been along this entire process from London to Dancing
yeah.
with the Stars to movies and singing? How big of a support has he been?
Oh, huge support, and I think, you know, I think in even just the last few years, he's been incredible because, you know, when you're kids, we're brother and sister. So like,
you're like annoying.
Yeah. And yeah. like, we never really were that like annoying brother and sister with each other, but we were just kind of like, well, yeah, like we're brother and sister. We look out for each other, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
like it was always that kind of good thing. But I think in the last few years, as we've grown up
yeah.
and we've had life experiences happen, like relationships and breakups
yeah.
and you know, we're now really working together. I mean, trust me, I've learned a lot about my brother.
You're like a tour bus going everywhere. Yeah.
I mean, we are emerged.
You're staying with him right now, or
It's a lot, but I used to hold my brother on such a pedestal, and I think he did the same thing for me.
Really.
And we're like, okay, we are human, and we've seen a lot of each other's faults now, and like our weaknesses and stuff like that, and. And I think it's hard because we even put our parents on a pedestal. It's all this stuff. And then you see something and that disappoints you. And you're like, well, wait, you're supposed to be this person. And then you're like, well, no, they're human. And like, anyway, so my brother and I have been really, really a huge support for each other in the last few years, because there have been life experiences. We have been immersed in each other's lives. And, you know, there's things that, if we didn't want to work to have our relationship, we could have split us apart or like, you know, and so I think that he was the one that introduced me to going to that seminar that changed my life, you know, and like, and every day we send each other these really cool little messages with all my sisters on the chain, and my brother will always send these really cool inspirational things, and like, just keeping us, I don't know, feeling good. So he's our brother. He's like our, he's the only boy in the family. So like, he's like our, we love him.
He's like our
little brother, even though he's my big brother, but he's like my little brother.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
What was the biggest lesson you learned while being a dancer on Dance with the Stars?
Yeah.
What's the biggest thing that opened up for you?
Patience, for sure, because you have to be sort of selfless when you're on that show, because it's not about you. And
it's about the celebrity.
It's about the celebrity. Yeah. It's about the celebrity.
Teaching constantly, right?
Teaching them, watching them grow. But it's very rewarding. And I think I didn't really understand that until recently, that like the reason why it was really fun to be selfless is the reward that you would get to watch somebody grow in front of your eyes, and like, you know, physically, you know, dancing wise, but then like emotionally too, and seeing them come out of their shell and like feeling confident and sexy. Like that's, I mean, that was obviously Apollo coming out and feeling sexy. but that like, that fulfillment on the other side, like, it's okay that it's not about me, because it's, you know,
being in service, giving.
Yeah, giving. And like being able to have a task, and you have to fulfill it, and you have to achieve that. Otherwise, you're not going to be prepared, and you're going to look silly. So I loved that. It taught me discipline for sure. I mean, I was taught that in England as well.
Sure.
But like, it taught me discipline. It taught me how to commit to something, and that I can't flake. Like I have to be there. I have to be reliable.
And be prepared.
And be prepared. Yeah. So I loved it.
Right. That's cool. And now you're judging.
Yeah.
Now tell me, what's the biggest lesson that you've learned being a judge, being on the other side?
Yeah. Biggest lesson that I've learned being a judge is that,
after you've been judged for so long,
that you want to give critiques, but with an encouragement behind it. Because I think that there's been times where you just kind of say what you think, and then you run out of time, and you're not allowed to say what you want to say for the encouraging part. So you have to, like, for me...
You're like, I'm sorry.
I know. And so it's really making sure that whenever I say what I have to say, there's always something that is a good part to it, that I can always see something good in whatever that is. But I also am not just gonna say, oh, that was great, because like that's not helping them. That's just keeping them where they're at. So I want to be able to give some, you know, criticism that helps them get better for the next week. So I don't know. It's about being authentic, but with a thought of encouragement, you know, like, so
with, you know, the exposure to ballroom dance with Dancing with the Stars, and more shows and all these dance shows coming out, and I feel like more and more parents putting their kids in dance, especially in the U.S. I don't know about around the world. What advice would you give to either parents or kids at a young age about ballroom dance, specifically going into it, knowing what you've been through?
Yeah, I think that, wow, it's a really difficult question, because I went through a lot of stuff that was pretty difficult. Yeah. And like, you know, I've spoken out about it, but you know, there were times where I felt completely alone, and like nobody understands me, and like the overly sexualized type yeah. thing. But I didn't understand that as a kid yeah. until now I'm an adult and I can look back and understand what it was. But those things made me a really great dancer.
Yeah.
So
made you driven and
extremely driven, made me really passionate, made me a fighter, made me strong, and all of those things. So it's hard because I'm like, I would never take it back.
Yeah.
Because this is why I'm here. But it's a very, I would never want anybody else to go through some of this stuff, you know? So for my advice for young kids, I think it's an incredible sport where you learn how to interact with a girl or a guy, mm-hmm. I think, which is maybe a good thing and a bad thing.
Sure.
But I think, you know, like the gentlemanly yeah. like feeling of taking care of a woman, I think, is really
and escorting.
Yeah, is right? It's very prominent in yeah. that world. And you know, being a female dancer definitely brings out the sensual sides, but it's being able to balance that and being yeah. able to, like, that's what I do, but that's not who I am, kind of thing. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, hey, I'm a huge fan of dancers, and there's all sorts of dancers.
Dancers are amazing.
They're really incredible. And it's so much about the emotion that, yeah. like, oh man, it, like, when I dance, really, there's nothing greater than yeah. what I feel, and I'm so immersed and I'm present. It's the one time that I really truly feel present.
Yeah. yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm not really answering this question at all. I would just say, like, you know, give it your all, and never forget why you wanted to do it.
Mm.
Because when you lose sight of that, then like, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, why are you doing it?
Yeah.
So just to keep doing it for the fun and the right reasons, so yeah.
That's good. Good answer.
I don't know.
Do you feel like without struggle
mm-hmm.
that you would be able to have success as well? Or do you feel like because of the struggles you've been through,
mm-hmm.
the challenges going to London, coming back, just like all the different confusing times, because of that, you are successful? And if you didn't have that, would you be where you are now?
For me personally, I don't know the other, so mm-hmm. where I'm at, I do think that made me who I am, and wow. the struggle was necessary, and the drive, whether it was because I felt I needed to prove myself or to show how strong I was, what I've done, what I've accomplished because of what I've gone through, like that was something that I needed, but now I don't need that anymore, and so
yeah.
it's a different kind of drive and passion. And I know others. My boyfriend, he didn't have struggles, and he is so passionate
wow.
about what he does. So I think in the past I would have been like, yeah, you know, to have struggle really helps you get somewhere, but I've seen the opposite.
Wow.
Like somebody who is so supported, so like his family was there through and throughout, like, and he just was passionate and he
Amazing.
Loved it.
That's great.
And like, he wouldn't have it any other way. Like,
that's great.
And so you can have it both ways.
Okay.
I think you just have to have that passion.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've seen it both ways now,
that's
so
good.
I don't
that's
know.
Good. A couple questions left for you.
Yeah.
The first one, a friend of mine asked me, he said I should ask this question in my interviews from now on. So my
okay.
question is, and you were kind of seeding it with your how you want to be of service and give to the world
mm-hmm.
as opposed to get. So if I gave you $1 billion right now,
mm-hmm.
what would you do to serve the world? How
oh
would you
gosh.
Accelerate your service?
Wow. Off the top of my head, I can't think of one place or one
mm-hmm.
community or something that I would do to give it to or something like that. But I would definitely do something. Oh man, like I work with Kind Campaign.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And I love that they have it in the school now where
yeah.
it's an outside program type thing, but you know, it's something that people want to be a part of. So I would want to do something where, whether it's something in schools with kids about moving and you know, because I say the more the way yeah. that you move directly affects the way that you feel. So like doing some sort of activity that is movement and positivity and like lifting that person up. So it would be something like that, whether it's in schools or like opening facility like in like all around the states that had that, where like people could come in and learn how to like not rebuild their lives, but like strip and be their true essence. Yeah. So having tools and people that also is in a fun environment. Sure. So I don't know if that made any sense, but if I could maybe build some sort of like facility, like a not a dance studio, but like a wellness studio, a center where you learn life lessons and you learn like kindness and you learn this and you learn that, and like, because it's not about again like taking stuff away, but it's how do you cure that. Mm. So like by being that kind of person. So I don't know, like you stop the badness in the world by being good. So I would teach people that. I don't know.
Like
get a lot of people to come and teach that.
I like it. Bring Tony in and teach it.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. One more question.
Yeah.
And before I ask you the last question, I want to see, is there anything you want to talk about that you're up to, that you're really excited about, that you want to promote out there? Where can we find you online? How can we connect with you? How can we be a part of your dream?
Absolutely. Well, the way that you can connect with me is I'm launching actually a blog website type, you know, I'm launching a blog.
Yeah.
Anyway. And it's obviously lifestyle, all the things that I'm really passionate about, but it's also like a space, again, for like challenges that I want to put out in the world to be kind or be, you know, be loving or being grateful. So it's a space where I really want to have a community of those types of people.
Are you writing it or is it your content?
Yeah.
And what's it called? What's the name?
It's just my name, juliannehuff.com.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah.
So when's that coming out?
It's like end of March. So,
all right, perfect.
Yeah.
So go there, subscribe.
And to be connected and feeling like we're in this community to get together. So
I like it.
Yeah. And then going back on Dancing with the Stars.
Amazing.
Got a movie I just finished that will come out next year.
Amazing.
So yeah, just loving life.
Subscribe to you on your website.
Yeah.
What are you Instagram more, Twitter, Facebook?
I have Instagram that connects to Twitter.
Okay, cool.
And Facebook actually, but it's Instagram that I do. Yeah.
All right, I'm a big Instagram fan
too.
Cool, so make sure to go there. Before I ask you the final question, I just want to again acknowledge you, Julianne, for your joy and your love.
Aww,
and I know you have love written right there, but it's like it just comes across so powerfully and so gracefully. That's the word that's coming up for me. It's like graceful in this ease. So I acknowledge you for being the light and being so joyful in the world and for bringing that energy to this interview. It's been so much fun. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Final question is, what's your definition of greatness?
My definition of greatness. Wow, that is a tough question. Mm. But I think that it's kind of what I've been saying is just being authentic and achieving what you feel is great, not what I think the world defines as great. I think that greatness is very personal.
Mm.
Yeah. So. I don't know, achieving greatness. I'm just thinking about my stepsister who's having a baby right now. Like, she's literally in the hospital. That is achieving greatness right there. Or like, I don't know, like anything. This interview is greatness. It's the way that you look at it.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. Well, Julianne, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
There you have it, guys. If you enjoyed this one, make sure to share it with your friends at lewishouse.com/499. And make sure to tag me at Lewis House and at Julianne Huff over on your Instagram stories, your Instagram page, on Twitter, on Facebook. Let us know what you thought of this. I'm sure she would love to hear the feedback of what you gained from her inspiration and her story. Again, lewishouse.com/499. And I hope you enjoyed this one. To finish this up, you've got to dance like there's nobody watching. You've got to love like you'll never be hurt. You've got to sing like there's nobody listening and live like it's heaven on earth. Again, great quote by William Perkey. I hope you enjoyed this one. And you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
Do you find yourself searching for true crime podcasts that are different from what you're always recommended? Do you want to make a real difference in the cases that you're following? Well, you're a crime junkie. And I'm Ashley Flowers, the creator and host of the number one true crime podcast, Crime Junkie. There are hundreds of episodes already available, and each Monday we dive into the details of cases spanning from some of the most infamous to those that you have never heard covered before. Listen to Crime Junkie podcast now, wherever you're listening.
You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You can start your day off right when you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.